Four scriptures I'd like to read to you tonight, fairly short. The first one is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, on page 898. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, Jehovah's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Now in the New Testament, in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 8, beginning of the chapter, and when he, that is Jesus, had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came up to him and did him homage, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou art able to cleanse me. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus says to him, See, thou tell no man, but go, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift which Moses ordained for a testimony to them. A little bit later in the book, chapter 14, Matthew chapter 14, and I'll read from verse 25. This is the occasion when the disciples were out in the boat on the sea, and a storm came, and they were being tossed by the waves. And then Jesus went out to them. Verse 25, it says, But in the fourth watch of the night, he went off to them, walking on the sea. And the disciples, seeing him walking on the sea, were troubled, saying, It is an apparition. And they cried out through fear. But Jesus immediately spoke to them, saying, Take courage, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answering him said, Lord, if it be thou, command me to come to thee upon the waters. And he said, Come. And Peter, having descended from the ship, walked upon the waters to go to Jesus. But seeing the wind strong, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught hold of him and says to him, O thou of little faith, why didst thou doubt? And when they had gone up into the ship, the wind fell. But those in the ship came and did homage to him, saying, Truly, thou art God's son. And finally, John's Gospel, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 27. This is Jesus speaking again. He says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them life eternal. And they shall never perish, and no one shall seize them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can seize out of the hand of my Father. I want to speak to you, dear friends, tonight about the hand of God. All of these scriptures have made reference to the hand of God, whether it's God himself. Indeed, they're all God, but it sometimes reveals the hand of God as the hand of Jesus or the hand of the Father. But it's the same person, God, and it's the hand of God I want to speak to you about tonight. So we sang in our hymn that God waits in grace with hands outstretched to bless. It's the wonderful way which God is towards you tonight. His hand is outstretched in blessing towards you. I want us to think a little bit about the hand. We know from our own experiences what the hand means to us. It's a way that we communicate with one another. It's the way we touch one another. It's the way we interact with one another. I've recently had a granddaughter born just 4 weeks ago. Went to see her on the second day after she'd been born. And it's the first thing you do, isn't it, with a baby? You reach out and touch their hand. Such tiny little hands. But immediately you touch the hand of a little baby, you feel the way that they grip your finger. There's immediate connection and interaction, even though they're so young. And so it is throughout our lives. We connect with one another. When we greet one another, we shake the hand. When we with somebody that we love, we hold their hands, so that the touch and the communication by hand is something that is very real, and we know what it means in our everyday lives. Now, God wants to connect with you and I in the same way, and he loves to reach out his hand towards us. And that's what he's doing in the gospel message tonight. But God's hand is not like our hand. I wanted to say a little bit to start with about the hand of God, just to give you an impression of the greatness of the one who I'm speaking about. God is a creator God. He's the one who's created you and I. He's the one who's created the world we live in. And It's God that describes in his own word the way he did that. I love a passage. Well, there's many passages in scripture, but one that is a favourite of mine is Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse showeth the work of his hands. So that's something that you and I can do any time there's a clear sky at night, is look up into the expanse of the heavens, and you can see the handiwork of God. You can see the wonderful way that God has used his hands, speaking reverently, to create the universe that we're in. And doesn't that reveal something of the greatness of God? Men struggle to understand how the worlds were formed, but Isaiah and Jeremiah make several references to God's hands in relation to creation. And I'm just going to read from Isaiah 45. You don't need to turn to it. God is saying to his people, he says, "It is I that have made the earth and created man upon it. It is I, my hands, that have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded." I think that's a wonderful expression, and it happens about six times in the Bible. God says, "It's my hands have stretched out the heavens." And I just think it's a wonderful picture to you and to me of the greatness of the power of God, that he can actually encompass the whole of the universe in his hands. There's a wonderful hymn that the children often sing about God holding the whole world in his hands. But it's even more than that. God has the whole of the universe in his hand. And when he originally formed it, he created it by stretching it out. And man today realized that the universe is an expanding universe, and that they can consider that it all began from a point and it has expanded. And that's just how God did it. And he describes it several times in the Bible, how he stretched out the heavens with his hands. "Mine own hands," he said. That's the greatness of the person I'm speaking to you about, is the greatness of the God, the creator of the universe. And it's his hands that are towards you tonight, reaching out to bless you. He wants to connect with you. He wants to interact with you, and he wants you to know something of his heart of love towards you personally tonight. And so, how does he do that? Well, he's speaking to you and to me today in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why I wanted to read of the Lord Jesus. Before I go there, though, let's just touch briefly on this verse in Isaiah. "Jehovah's hand is not shortened that it cannot save." It's a wonderful verse. Despite everything that has come in, despite what you and I are like, our sins, Adam sinned at the beginning, and sin has passed upon the whole world, and death has passed as a consequence of that. "Your iniquities, my iniquities, separate us from God." And it's very clear in this verse that we read, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God." And I just wanted to make that point very clear at the outset. That's the reason why we preach the gospel, is because there's a big problem that God, although he's reaching out in blessing towards you, there is a separation, and it's your sins. But that does not mean that God's hand is shortened, that it cannot save. And the wonderful thing is that although you and I often put barriers up, and our sins is one big barrier, but we have other barriers that we put up before God so that we want to ignore him and we want to exclude him from our lives. Satan loves to do that. He's the God's enemy. He's the one that he wants to keep you away from God. And that's a big barrier too. But God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. And be very sure about that tonight, that he is reaching very close to you tonight, and he will hear you when you cry out to him. I trust we'll come on to that in a minute when we think about Peter crying out to the Lord in a little while. But wonderful to think that God's hand is ready to bless you tonight. There's nothing from God's side to prevent you entering into the fullest of God's thoughts for you tonight. And so, he's speaking to us today in the person of his Son. Why has he done that? Well, He says elsewhere in the Bible God, it says, all day long I have stretched out my hands towards a people disobeying and opposing. And you know, he's speaking of Israel there, but he could equally be speaking of you and me, because God reaches out towards us all the time, all day long, every day of our lives, and we just disobey him and oppose him so often. But God is that's how he is towards us. And I think when he sent his son into this world, that's a wonderful way he was reaching out so that you and I could know something of his hand, to be seen in the hands of the Lord Jesus himself, his only son. And he's done that so that you and I can understand more perfectly the way God is towards us, and something about his hand that is towards us for blessing. And so in the Bible, there are many, many instances where it talks about the Lord Jesus using his hands to heal and to reach out to people. And I just read two instances in the Bible. Now, the first one in Matthew chapter 8. I just think this is a very interesting one, because it's after the Lord Jesus had finished giving his sermon. We speak a bit about as the Sermon on the Mount. He'd spent a long time going over with his disciples and also the people that were there to hear him too, speaking about blessing, speaking about the way he was blessing people, but speaking too about the way that he was bringing in something different. Nothing like what the scribes and the Pharisees had been speaking about, but he was talking about things in a completely new way. How many times you find that he says, but I say to you, something different. The words of grace that came out of his mouth were different than had ever been heard from the scribes and Pharisees and the teachers of that day. The end of chapter 7, just before where I began reading, it says, the crowds were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as having authority and not as their scribes. The reason being, because he was God, because he spoke from the heart of God, and he was presenting to them glad tidings, a different message that they'd not heard before. He comes down from that mountain, with crowds following him, and the first case that he comes in contact with is a leper. And it's particularly precious to see that the Lord was met by a leper who came and did him homage and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou art able to cleanse me. A leper who had very little human contact. In fact, human contact was banned for those that were lepers. You couldn't touch a leper because you'd be immediately contaminated yourself, and that disease would then pass to you, and your own hands and limbs would become affected by it. Leprosy was an awful disease. It caused the skin and everything to wither away. And it's a picture of sin. And that's why I think this is such a wonderful instance that the Lord immediately addresses. He stretched out his hand and touched him. And that means he touched him and handled him freely. Wonderful. That leper had never had much human contact, if any. And here was a man so different. God himself had come to bring in blessing, and there he was able to handle the leper and touch him, stretching out his hand, saying, I will be cleansed. What power, what wonderful love and grace that met that man in all his need and stretched out his hand and touched him. The hand of God, the hand of blessing, hand of healing, the hand that was able to deal with leprosy, and the hand that is able to deal with your sin tonight. He can do that because he was on a pathway here that would lead to the cross at Calvary. The place where he would be crucified, those very hands that had healed were going to be taken and nailed to the cross at Calvary. And he was there to take away the sin of the world. He was there to take my sins upon him and the sins of everyone that had put their trust in him. And at that time, he bore, it says, the scripture says, he bore the sins of many. But he gave his life a ransom for all. And that's why I'm here preaching to you tonight. As is everyone who is preaching today, message going out throughout the whole world to all, to whosoever will, can come and put their trust in Jesus and know that what he has done upon the cross, that finished work, is sufficient to deal with every sin. How wonderful. And so that is why Jesus can heal, because he was going to the cross to deal with the sin, to deal with every problem that the human race has, all dealt with there at the cross. And so that's why his hands could heal this leper. That's why he can heal you tonight. That's why he's reaching out in blessing to you tonight, because the work has been done. So God is reaching out to you, particularly in the person of the Lord Jesus, and that's how it's presented tonight. So will you be like this leper? Will you put your trust in that work of Jesus on the cross at Calvary? The leper said, "If thou wilt, thou art able to cleanse me." I can tell you tonight that Jesus is willing and able to cleanse you tonight of your sins. You just have to put your trust in him. Like we said, repentance only God requires from man, and faith in Christ, his well-beloved Son. As soon as you acknowledge your sin, it was very easy for the leper to acknowledge his leprosy because it was there, evident for all to see. Sometimes our sins, we hide them. We hide behind an outward facade of good behaviour and good works, but that doesn't mean anything. And no good works that you or I do will ever give you any place in heaven. But you need to accept that your sins are the barrier that keep you out of heaven, and only those sins can only be dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the blood that he shed on the cross at Calvary, the blood that cleanses from every sin. And it's as you come to him and accept that you will be cleansed. So Peter, in chapter 14, a disciple of the Lord, one who knew that he was a sinner, one who'd already said to the Lord, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." One who knew something of the life that was available in the Saviour. Here he was out in the sea, tossed by the winds and the waves, in fear of their lives. And they see Jesus coming to them on the water. Jesus crying out, saying, "Take courage, it is I." Peter says, "If it be thou, command me to come to thee upon the waters." And the Lord graciously says to Peter, "Come." Peter descended from the ship and walked on the waters to go to Jesus. We read these words, but just think about it, what it must have meant to leave a boat where he was relatively safe, go out onto that sea with the waves and the wind. And yet he did, because in his faith and trust in the Lord, he left the boat and went towards him. But it was at the moment he got his eye off the Lord and looked at the wind and the waves around him, seeing the wind strong, he was afraid, it says, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And that's when, again, we see the hand of the Lord immediately stretched out towards him. It says, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught hold of him and says to him, "O thou of little faith." I've read this passage because it might encourage someone here who perhaps you've already put your trust in the Lord Jesus and acknowledged and repented before him of your sins. But you know, we need the Saviour all day long, every day. And as wonderful as it is to come to him for the first time and in repentance, it's good to know the hand of the Lord Jesus in our lives daily. And there are many times when Satan will seek to knock you off your course, to divert you in your pathway, to distract you from himself. And our lives are full of distractions. We were talking about it yesterday, Chris and I, when we were together when we were out yesterday. And it's just amazing when you stop and think about the number of times in the day that you are distracted by things around us. And the wind and the waves distracted Peter, took his eye off the Lord. And you can well understand it. I'd have been just the same. But sometimes the distractions of the day are things that, you know, we shouldn't spend our time and be occupied with. It's not as if we're in an emergency situation like Peter was here, but we let things distract us. And the Lord sometimes has to bring us up and make us realize that we need help. Well, Peter realized he needed help. Beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Mm-hmm. And immediately the Lord's hand was there to hold him. Mm-hmm. And I would just say that to encourage each of us tonight, that the Lord's hand is always there for us. The moment we realize we need the Lord and cry out to him, it is there. His hand is there for us, the hand of the Lord. And may we know something of it. By way of present salvation, not our initial salvation perhaps, although that's important, but looking around, so many of us in this room tonight, I know, have already put their trust in the Lord Jesus. But it's present salvation that's equally important, and the hand of the Lord is available for that. Well, may we know something of being with Jesus, as it were, in his hand. When it says, when they had gone up into the ship, the wind fell. Those in the ship came and did him homage, saying, "Truly, thou art God's son." You know, the greater our impression of the person of the Lord Jesus, God's only son, the more we will realize that we can't do without him. Well, I just read then in John's Gospel, chapter 10, because there it brings together the thought of God's hand in a very special way. God has revealed himself to us as Father and as Son and as Holy Spirit. And here we have the Lord speaking about his sheep. His sheep, that's a reference really to those that have put their trust in him. You and I become his sheep when we trust in the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. He's the wonderful, good shepherd, the one who's come that we might have life and have it abundantly. Well, he's speaking about his sheep. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So what a wonderful picture that is of being saved and enjoying present salvation. But it goes on to speak about, "They shall follow me, and I give them life eternal." Reminding us that the life that Jesus gives us is eternal life, something that we can enjoy now, but it's something too that is eternal, and it's forever. It says they shall never perish, and he says no one shall seize them out of my hand. The hand of the Lord is a safe hand. You know, the moment you're saved, you are saved forever. It's an eternal salvation. Our salvation is initial, it's present, and it's future. And the Lord Jesus is assuring those, his disciples, his sheep, "I give them life eternal, they shall never perish, and no one shall seize them out of my hand." But it's more than that. He goes on to speak about his Father. And the Lord has a relationship with you, and he is God, but he wants to bring you into something that's, can I say it, even better, and that's a relationship with his Father. The Father, it says, loves the Son and has given all things to be in his hand. So the Lord Jesus, when he was here, his hand had with it all the power and of the love of the Father. And he wants to bring you into that relationship that he has with his Father. And he wants you to know something of the greatness of the Father's love. "My Father who has given them to me," he says, "is greater than all, and no one can seize out of the hand of my Father." So it's, you might say, added security. No one can seize the sheep out of the Lord's hand, but neither can they be seized out of the Father's hand. No one can seize out of the hand of my Father. What great protection we have. And I think that's what I associate with a father's love and care, is that he knows every detail about our lives. And as he's provided, the Lord God has provided Jesus as our Saviour and our Shepherd, so that he's an all-the-way-home Saviour. But part of what the Lord has provided is a relationship that he wants you to enter into and enjoy with the Father. And that hand of the Father is something else that we're brought into to enjoy as well. The Father's hand. Well, I just leave these thoughts. God's hand revealed to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's hand that's ever ready to save you. The hand that is safe and secure. And the hand that would also lead you to the Father. And none can seize out of the Father's hand. What a wonderful salvation God has provided for us. His hand's outstretched to bless. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. He's reaching out. And I trust something of what we've been occupied with, of the Lord's hand, will speak to us tonight of the very richest of blessings that God has for you in Christ. And may you know something of that joy of walking with Jesus in his hand for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.